I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the progress of Sharia law in the UK. The progress of Sharia law in the UK. This is based on a new story now from the Freedom Outpost. FreedomOutpost.com. UK proposes 6-year prison sentence for criticizing Islam. 6-year prison sentence for criticizing Islam. And then the subtitle says, this is more of Britain's gallop toward Sharia and ruin. Gallop toward Sharia and ruin. There's another website called Creeping Sharia. And the whole idea of it is that the way that they bring in Sharia law into these countries in the Western world is not all at once, but to do it in a stealthy manner, what some have called the stealth jihad, where they come in ways where they're not directly bringing in Sharia law, although it is worth mentioning that the UK reportedly has about 80 Sharia courts there even now. 80 Sharia courts right now. The countries of Western Europe have these no-go zones or Sharia zones where the Muslims have claimed different neighborhoods. And we've been warned for a number of years now that this is what they are planning here in the United States as well. There are parts of our country that have already been infiltrated by Muslims who have taken over whole areas. They have Islamburg up in New York. You can go online, watch the videos on that. They've got the whole situation going on in Dearborn, Michigan, where the whole town or city of Dearborn has been taken over by Muslims. They've got scenes there, video, that look more like they're happening in a foreign country than that they're happening here in the United States of America. But this is something that Steve Emerson, who wrote the book and then made the documentary Jihad in America, this is what he was warning about even before 9/11. Before 9/11. Watch his documentary, Jihad in America. If you haven't seen it, you really should watch it, because it's even chilling at the beginning when he is talking to the audience. He's walking out with the New York skyline behind him and the World Trade Center towers, the Twin Towers, are still there. They're still there. And this was before 9/11 happened. And he's showing scenes in his film where you're looking at camps and places in rural America, places that are kind of in the heartland of America, where you would traditionally find American farmers and cattlemen and ranchers and this kind of thing. And it's in these little communities where they have all of these Muslims that have been brought in, and they build an Islamic community. And they were training children and adults in the principles of jihad even back then. This was going on here in the United States. And Steve Emerson was exposing all of this prior to the attack on 9/11. So it's important to remember this has been going on in our country. In fact, in the presentation that I gave at the Ozarks for Worldview Weekend, I played the videotape from all the way back in 1989 that appeared on C-SPAN from Sharifa al-Khatib, a Muslim woman who was describing the ultimate objective of Muslim education in America was to make all of America Muslim. Here, listen to part of what she said. Listen.
And while our objective, our final objective, is not just to become part of the system that we experience now and that we see, Our objective, our final objective, is to create our own Islamic systems, and not only create Islamic systems for Muslims, but to look at all the other people who are sharing this country with us as potential Muslims. And if we look at them as potential Muslims and feel that we have the obligation, which Allah has told us, to try to bring them into the same style of thinking, into the same way of behaving, into the same objectives that we have, then we have to have some way that we can communicate with them and some way we can work with them. And in that long-range process of making America Muslim, all of America Muslim, then we have to have some actual short-range goals. We have to have some way of dealing with them and know how we're going to deal with them and in which ways, and be very calculated about it, or else we will not accomplish our goals.
Okay, so notice what she said. She talked about having the long-range goal of making America Muslim, all of America Muslim. Now, this is back in 1989, brethren. This is why I think it's so important that we understand that the Islamic agenda in America, which is directly linked to the socialist, the Marxist agenda in America, because the Marxists are the ones who are empowering Islam. They're doing it because they're creeping into our government. They're becoming lawyers, judges, and politicians, and then they're manipulating laws to advance the Islamic cause in the United States. The Muslims are not doing this on their own. They couldn't. They're getting help from these leftists, and the reason goes all the way back to World War II. And we explain that in the new audio CD, Hitler's Jihad. There's lots of documentation. And once you see it all, I've presented this before several audiences now, it's unbelievable what's going on. But we have to understand that this is a long-range goal. It is not something that was initiated quickly, and it's not something I think that we will be able to put a stop to quickly, because you cannot put a stop to it if you are simply looking at the problem of Islam. You have to look at these socialists. You have to look at the enablers who are deliberately trying to bring them in. And I'm not sure that any place right now is worse in that regard than the UK. The UK is, they are probably 10 to 20 years or so farther down the path of complete subversion and the overthrow of their system, farther down that path than we are, especially because they gave up their guns in 1997. In 1997, they were disarmed, and then that's when the Muslim rape gangs started accelerating and violating all of these, you know, hundreds of thousands of young girls. They say now more than a million of them because of these Muslim rape gangs. Meanwhile, there's very little prosecution of the offenders. All right, so let's go back to this story here at the Freedom Outpost from World News. This is actually written by Robert Spencer. And so the headline again, UK proposes 6-year prison sentence for criticizing Islam. So the article says, quote, the draft law speaks only about criticizing religion, but everyone knows which religion is meant. No one is going to go to prison for criticizing Christianity or Judaism. This is more of Britain's gallop towards Sharia and ruin. Okay. And this is based on a Breitbart article, apparently. UK proposes 6-year prison sentences for online posts against religion, transgender. So it says, the Breitbart article says, people promoting hostility towards a religion or the transgendered online could get much harsher sentences of up to 6 years in jail, especially if they have a large online audience, according to new proposals. The Sentencing Council for England and Wales has drafted changes to public order offences, including anyone perceived as targeting online a protected characteristics. That's the way it's written, a protected characteristics. Okay? And this goes back to what they do here in the United States. If you study all of the gay wedding cake trials that they've had, where they... You know, the gays are able to go in and sue a Christian business owner because they won't make a gay wedding cake or provide gay wedding services. There's a number of different people who have been bankrupted and dragged through the courts and so on because of these arguments. But what they argue is that the gays are a protected class. In other words, you're not equal to them if you're not gay. If you're a Christian, you're not equal to the gays. They are a protected class, so they have to be specially protected by law, supposedly. And what they've done is they've created essentially an elite group or a series of elite groups by saying, well, they're a protected class, meaning that they are endangered. You know, it's almost like an endangered species in the wild. They're endangered at a higher level, and so we have to give them special protections. That's the idea. And of course, there's nothing equal about this. This is not equality. This is not equal rights and equal accountability under the law. This is giving special rights to minority groups arbitrarily because the left wants to advance a certain agenda and really undermine Christianity. That's what this is about. All right, so the article goes on, and it says these protected characteristics, including race, sex, disability, age, sexual orientation, religion or belief, pregnancy and maternity, and gender reassignment. It says the most severe punishments will be handed to those in a position of trust, authority, or influence, and abuses their position to stir up hatred, such as political leaders or figureheads and anyone whose offenses are persistent. If an offender was a member of or was associated with a group promoting hostility based on race or religion, their sentence will also be harsher. Now, this is nothing more, brethren, than an open violation of the entire concept of free speech in the Western world. This will completely destroy, well, maybe not completely, it will largely destroy free speech in the United Kingdom if they pass this. If they pass this, they will destroy free speech in England. And everyone knows why they're passing it. They're passing it to go after the Christian population. That's what they're passing it for. This is targeting Christians because Christians will not be protected. They will not be part of the protected class. They won't have a protected characteristic. Their religion will not be protected. So Muslims could trample on Christianity, and we'll have to wait and see what happens with this. But as Robert Spencer says in the article, everyone knows that Christianity and Judaism will not be protected. I mean, you've got Muslims that are in different parts of Europe, like Paris, chasing Jewish people down the street and harassing them and kicking them and all this other kind of stuff, just trying to humiliate them. And it'll be interesting to see if when they do this kind of thing, if they're going to be arrested and if they're going to go to jail for it. Or if this is simply something used to target Christians, pastors, ministers, teachers, independent radio hosts, etc., people in independent media who are exposing what's happening over there, the fact that the crime rate in the UK has gone through the roof, that the knife attacks and the murders in London are now worse, the murder rate is higher than New York City for the first time in two centuries. And will all of this qualify as so-called hate speech to point these things out? And to point out that the reason why is because they flooded London with Muslims. And that there's no way around it. Islam is a culture of violence and fanaticism. That's just the reality. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this in relationship to M103 in Canada and HR 569 right here in the United States. When we come back, right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Today, we're talking about the progress of Sharia law in the UK. Yeah, UK promotes six-year prison sentences for online posts against religion, transgender. I said this was Robert Spencer. Apparently, Robert Spencer, it seems, posted it on Freedom Outpost. But the article itself, the Breitbart article, is written by Liam Deacon. Liam Deacon. So it says, people promoting hostility towards a religion or the transgendered online could get much harsher sentences of up to 6 years in jail. Now, why is this a march towards Sharia law? Well, this is where Sharia law begins. Now, notice they're not coming right out and saying, if you criticize Islam, then you're going to get 6 years in jail. But people who have been watching what's going on with these socialist governments in Western Europe, whenever you say religion and somebody's going to be punished for insulting a religion, most everybody knows and understands that the only religion anybody's going to be punished over will be Islam. It's not going to be Hinduism or Buddhism or Zoroastrianism or something. No, it will be because somebody spoke out against Islam. What other religion? There's three. There is Christianity. There is Judaism. Both of which are criticized. You have plenty of people online that criticize Christianity, plenty that criticize Judaism, and plenty that criticize Islam. But I have to agree, most everyone knows they're not going to be punishing people over Christianity. It's just highly unlikely. Okay, now I understand what happened. I see. Okay. So the article was on Freedom Outpost. The intro to that article was written by Robert Spencer. So Spencer writes a commentary on it. Then he posts the article written by Liam Deacon. That's how it works. Okay. Just so we understand. Anyway, but why is this important? This is not just happening in the UK, brethren. This is going on up in Canada as well. We've talked before about M103, Motion 103, which is a motion up in the Canadian government to condemn hate speech, etc., and to condemn Islamophobia. And they specifically made mention of Islamophobia. Then what happened a short time later after they passed M103, the Toronto School Board came up with a guidebook that defined Islamophobia. And it included in part, quote, I'm going to give you the quote here, quote, fear, prejudice, hatred, or dislike directed against Islam or Muslims or towards Islamic politics. That's what they said. Fear, prejudice, hatred, or dislike directed against Islam or Muslims or towards Islamic politics. That's the definition in Toronto for Islamophobia. Then apparently you had those who objected to it. There was a Jewish group who objected to it. And then the Toronto School Board came back and they said that they were going to adjust the meaning. They didn't like the presence of the word politics there, of course. Why? Because what is Islamic politics? Islamic politics is Sharia law. That's essentially what Islamic politics would be. Now, even at that, even if they take out the word politics, still the definition, fear, prejudice, hatred, or dislike directed against Islam or Muslims. I mean, they're basically saying you cannot have a negative opinion of Islam or Muslims. And that really is the foundation of Sharia, because Sharia begins with exalting Islam as the number one religion, exalted above all other beliefs. It would be exalted above Christianity, above Judaism, above all other belief systems. And if you insult that particular belief system, Islam, then you've got to be punished by law and you've got to go to jail, just like in a Muslim country. Because that's what happens in a Muslim country. If you insult Islam or the Quran or the Prophet Muhammad, etc., you will be arrested and you'll go to jail. And in some circumstances, they'll even call for the death penalty, depending on what it was that you said. So that's why whenever you hear the word Islamophobia, brethren, that's why this is so important. The word Islamophobia, remember, that is the doorway to Sharia law. Because they say, because of Islamophobia, Muslims are endangered. Hence, we have to pass laws to punish anyone who's guilty of Islamophobia. So then how they define Islamophobia becomes important. And remember, they're doing this in other areas. They're doing this with the transgender issue, just as this article relates. The transgender issue in New York, you can pay up to $250,000 fine if you refuse to call a man in a dress a woman. If you refuse to call him a woman, you can pay, in certain circumstances, up to $250,000. In California, if you refuse to call a man in a dress a woman, you could spend up to a year in jail in certain circumstances. They're limited right now. The law gives these specific details and this kind of thing. It's limited, there's no doubt. But nevertheless, the fact that that's even a law anywhere should be cause for concern. Because we know how the progressive movement works. They're simply going to progress it further and further and further. But they've got to have a starting point. A reason why we should continue to support the Republican Party despite its failings, despite being let down in certain areas. We should still continue to support them because of what the Democrats are trying to do. You have House Resolution 569. Go online and look this up, brethren. H.R. 569. That was set forth December 17th, 2015 in the House of Representatives by the Democrats, of course. And they set forth a resolution, quote, condemning violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States. That was it. Condemning violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States. Now, you look at this and you say, why especially towards Muslims? Since when do we have laws like this? Typically, a law would be inclusive of everyone, you know, that it would be violence, bigotry, and hatred towards U.S. citizens, toward anyone in the United States, whoever you are. But no, it's specifically towards Muslims in particular. And then it goes on to say, whereas the victims of anti-Muslim hate crimes and rhetoric have faced physical, verbal, and emotional abuse because they were Muslims or believed to be Muslim. And then it goes on from there. Now, what they don't tell anybody, what they don't want to talk about is the fact that where these anti-Muslim hate crimes are concerned, most of them that are reported end up being false. They end up being false accusations engineered by the Muslims themselves. And I've talked about this before. You go to the website Wiki Islam, and you can read the whole list there because they've got a bunch of them documented in the United States and over in Europe of the false claims made by Muslims that they've been victimized and then it later turned out that they weren't. But this doesn't take that into consideration. Now, this shows us, H.R. 569 shows us the direction that Hillary Clinton would have taken our country almost certainly if she had ever been elected president, and thank the Lord she was not. This is one of a number of reasons why we are very thankful that the Lord gave us President Donald Trump at this particular point in our history. We are thankful for that because it's highly unlikely that anything like this would make its way through Congress as long as we've got President Trump and the Republicans in charge and able to put a stop to things like this. But this is the direction that the radical left wants to take our country, just like Canada, just like the UK. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.